Okay, let me tell you what's going on this week. I am fighting one of those horrible summer colds. I'm fighting and losing. My voice is very, very weak, which is a bad thing because tonight I am playing the Prince of Aragon and the Duke in the Merchant of Venice for the Backroom Shakespeare Project here in Chicago. And tomorrow morning I'm heading over to South Bend, Indiana to meet Reed Martin and the actors from our workshop production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, which opens next week at the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival. So this week, I'm going to do something I hoped I would never have to do. I'm going to repost an old episode of the RSC podcast. And I chose to repeat this specific episode because I just got an email sent to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com from Mariko Connor, who told me she's been listening to the podcast from the very beginning and, quote, "I've been known to listen to some episodes like Let It Snow on repeat," unquote. So, Mariko, here's one you can skip. Since it's the middle of summer 2015, I give you from 8 years ago, from May of 2007, RSC podcast episode number 24, Let It Snow. Just listen to that old GarageBand theme music.
Hi, I'm Austin.
I'm Reed.
I'm Matt.
And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 24,
Let It Snow.
This week, we're at beautiful Rochester, New York.
Rochester.
See? Nazareth College. And it's me, Mick, and Brent, who we heard from last week. And we're doing a completely Hollywood in Nazareth. But, oh, the stories we can tell about Nazareth College. What happened that one day?
I mean, first let's start in the very beginning. There's so much to tell from this story. Let's start with the beginning. I don't know if you guys remember this. S.L. Wellen.
Yes.
He was doing it.
Who now goes by Robertson Wellen and runs a B&B in Scotland.
Right.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. So he is with us for the technical part of it, and the morning starts out where he goes to, for some reason, he has to rent a van.
Right.
It's simple enough. There's nothing ominous about this day.
He's going to be the driver.
Right, he's going to be the driver. Yeah. So he goes
it's
to rent.
It's pouring rain, and we're in Newark, New Jersey, but other than that.
Right, so that's it. So I'll just remember that. That will be prominent much later in the story.
Yeah. So we're in the airport in Newark, and we're flying to Rochester, where we have a show that night at Nazareth College. This would have been around 1990. Yeah. Well, it was a Bible show, 96 probably.
Something like that, mid to late 90s. Yeah.
Right. And
Robertson Wellen, he rents the van, he drives us to the airport, you know, simple as that.
And so we get to the airport in Newark, and we're told that it's snowing
right
heavily in Rochester. And so the flight we're on has been canceled.
Canceled. We were on a continental flight up to Rochester, and it's been canceled. But they think that they can.
Well, they think they can. I think we transferred airlines. They said this other airline, and I don't remember which airline it was, has a flight into Rochester slightly later, and it has not been canceled. I think they think maybe the weather is going to clear.
Right.
Never now, Jane is our road manager at this point, so she's talking to all the airline, Jane Martin, my bride, former general manager of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. So she's talking to all the airline people saying, well, what do we do? So.
And we have a show. I mean, this is.
That night.
We're doing five shows in 5 days in five states. So there's a show to be had.
And we're talking about, should we just drive?
Right. I mean, we're trying to figure out. I mean, Jane had, I mean, it was almost like, a general. She had a sheet of paper. If we miss this flight, we have this. I mean, it was count down to how much can we miss or how many flights can be missed before we can't do this show. And until we hear we can get on, shall we drive? And I believe at one point, if I'm skipping ahead, we found a flight.
First of all, they thought we would get on this other flight. So we took all of our stuff over, and they put us in a little shuttle. They put us in a little shuttle and they drove us across the tarmac to the other terminal. And it was at that point.
I think it was at that point that we're sitting in the bus driving to the other terminal, to the other airline, and we see the luggage cart drive past us and with our trunks on it, and it hits a bump, and We see one of our trunks fall off onto the tarmac.
And the car keeps driving.
As are we.
Yeah, as are we. And it's Jane and SL,
yeah.
or Robertson, and Robertson, who tell the driver, stop. And now Jane and Robertson are running across the tarmac.
Totally against federal regulation.
Well, this is pre-9/11.
And, well, but without hesitation. I mean, Jane saw the trunk on the ground around. They said, we got to get that. That's ours.
And it's freezing rain. It's freezing. Now it's getting cold now down in Newark as well. And so they get somehow they got the trunk back on the train. We drive over to that gate where this other airline flight is up to Rochester is, and that flight has now been canceled.
Yes, as soon as we disembark from the bus, we find out that this flight has been canceled.
But Jane immediately does the math. Okay, we've got about maybe another hour and a half window before we can miss this show. I mean, it was getting that close.
So now Jane finds a flight back on our original airlines.
Right, at Continental.
To Buffalo.
Yes.
Which means we'd fly into Buffalo. We can... land there, and then we have an hour drive, maybe?
Yeah, it's like an hour's drive from Buffalo to Rochester.
To Rochester. But now this flight is going to be arriving, as each flight get canceled, we normally need to be there by 11 in the morning or noon to load in. Well, now we can see if we get on this flight to Buffalo, we're going to land in Buffalo probably at 6:30 for an 8 o'clock show, and by the time we get our we're going to arrive pretty much at showtime.
Right. Well, and so then we finally get on this plane. We finally got on this Continental flight to Buffalo.
Right.
And it's just, and by now this winter storm has moved into the New York area. So I'm actually surprised that they let us take off. We were sitting.
It was a bumpy flight,
there's no euphemism about it. It was a bumpy as hell flight. And Matt Croak and I were sitting in the way back, and it was one of those planes where we had a window seat, but there was the engine is on the side of the tail of the plane. So you can't see out the window. You kind of have to look. There's this only little fraction of a thing. And so they didn't serve us any drinks because the flight was so bumpy, and they were telling the stewardess, the air hostesses, to the flight attendants to just stay put. And people were ringing their bells because people were throwing up. And the flight attendant in the back hears the bell going off, and she says, "Oh, like hell, I'm getting up. There's no way I'm getting up."
As I recall, at least one of the flight attendants was kind of freaking out, and you two were talking her down.
They'll come very prominent. And I'm a guy that, even when I bust my finger, I want to look at the stitches going in. I don't know why. I just want to look at it. So I'm arching my head because we didn't have a window, and I have my head pasted out the window, and I'm doing a play-by-play to Austin because he really can't see it because it was very bumpy.
Right.
And we started to land, and I'm like, we're going down. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. And we touch
down
the runway, and we go
take off again.
They gunned the engine, so it's just like the wheels touched, and then he gunned the engine and took off again.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the flight attendant's going, "Oh my god, oh my god, my god!" And we're going, "No, it's going to be okay.
I believe they're instructed to do that.
Well, first, I'm going the whole play-by-play. I'm going, "We're almost there. We're almost there. Runway. We touch. We go back up, and then I just lean back, and everyone looks at me like." Did we just take off again? I'm like, yeah, maybe. I was afraid to break the bad news.
Well, then it was the captain who came on, right? The captain came on and said, they told us there's a lot of what do they call wind shear.
Yeah.
And because of the wind shear, we had to take off again. It's too rough to land. We're going to circle around and try to come in again.
And it was bumpy going down. It was going down. That's why I was doing the play-by-play. It was bumpy.
But that was a sobering thought to me, that we were safer in the air than trying to land.
The wheels are on the ground. Just keep it down.
It's safer to keep going again.
So the stewardess is going, "Oh my god, oh my god." And for I don't know if it's just human nature or whatever, but Austin and I, for whatever reason, turn around and say, "No, it's okay, it's all right." And we're like explaining physics, and Austin's going, "No, it seems like it's safer taking off than land." We're trying to calm down the stewardess, and she's also very upset because then she's just going, "I don't even know why we took off. We never should be flying, and he didn't even have the right to go, and we should be on the ground." And we're like, no, it's cool. We're just going to circle again. We're going to try to land. We know what we're talking about because we're right behind her."
Well, at first I was going, wait, if she's freaked out, then we must be in trouble.
Right.
But then somehow the act of watching the plane come in or trying to talk us down and talking her down was kind of calming. So we finally land and we give everybody applause, the captain, and we're standing up. We're finally getting getting off the plane, and that panicky flight attendant at the end says, "We gotta fly back in this."
Because we were kind of congratulating them. Hey, yeah. We made it. Congratulations.
Good job.
And she had the look of the death.
They were not looking forward to it.
So now, one thing we hadn't said earlier is while we were in the airport in Newark, as we were getting on later and later flights, we realized that we're not going to have enough time to load in the show.
That's right.
So SL Robertson, Wellen, had been talking to the technical director in Rochester and talking him through how to focus the lights, how to have everything ready so that all we have to do is come in, hang our drop, lay out our props, and go.
And go.
And not only that, but because it was so close, they said, "We're going to drive up the hour. We don't want you renting a car. We don't want you getting lost.
Right.
We are going to drive up, and we are going to get you. The second you land, we're gone."
Right. So we arrive, we get off the plane, we get down to the gate, and we have and the guys meet us. There's I don't know who he was, a technical director or somebody from the theater meets us, and there's another guy, and they said, "Well, we made it, we're finally here." And they said, "Well, we have a problem. One of our the guy who was driving the van skidded off the highway in all this snow.
It was so snowy and icy,
He didn't make it." And we start laughing.
We
go, "Oh, what a typical way to end the day."
And we're all laughing hysterically going, "Oh, can you believe it?"
And then all of a sudden, it hits us all at once. Yeah. We go, "Well, wait a minute. We haven't heard this guy is alive."
Yeah. "Is he okay? Oh, my God. Wait a second. Is he okay?"
So we all look at the other guy who's looking at us. We're like, "Oh, we're sorry. We don't mean to laugh. We're just, you would not believe the flight we just landed."
Yeah. So, but he was okay.
Yes.
He was okay. But the upshot was the van was lying on the side of the road. We would now have to go rent a van.
Because we needed two vans, one for people, one for props and costumes.
Right. So
now we are on every minute.
It's like 5:30 now for it's like 6:30 now for an 8 o'clock
show. Every minute counts here.
And we got an hour drive ahead of us. Well, SL goes off to rent the van. To rent us another van because he's already returned the van in Newark. So he goes out, and then he comes back.
About a half hour later, which we're all going, come on, we're on a time.
Comes back, he has no van, which he couldn't rent the van because he didn't have his license.
Which he left in Newark. He left his, it was his license he had. He left his American Express card accidentally in the Newark airport and had no money to pay for that van.
So you and I went off to rent a van, which we did, and it was just a cargo van. It was just a cargo van with seats. Everybody else went off with everybody. Well, no, we still had to get
I think we followed each other, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did follow each other. We followed you because there was no heat.
Right.
Remember, there was no heat.
I remember. We're not done with the story.
There was no heat in this van.
Oh, I remember.
And the wind. And so we finally get loaded up. We're on this drive now, but we had to stop. I don't know. We had to stop every 10, 15 minutes to scrape the ice and rain off the windshield.
Because there's no defroster. I'd forgotten.
So I'm in the front seat. Austin's driving. And it's like, oh, this day was so weird. And then he'd pull over and I'd run out and I'm scraping ice off the windshield wiper so we could see.
Yeah,
we could see. Then we jump back in and we drive.
And we didn't know where we were going. No. We kind of did. But anyway, so we finally get there. But we finally get to the theater when?
I'd say 7:45.
I think it was 7:45. And they were supposed to open the house in this.
Normally you open it at half an hour before the show begins. So they're holding the audience outside at Nazareth College, but there's sort of a catch that there isn't really much of a lobby at Nazareth College. So the people are like shoulder to shoulder in the lobby, but there's also kind of overflow because it was a big full house that night outside kind of in this blizzard.
So we literally just we slap everything. I set up the keyboard really quickly, plug it in. Did we do any sort of, we didn't have time to do anything.
No,
they hung the drop. We just put the props out.
We didn't really focus the light.
We didn't focus the lights. Just slammed it.
They had done most of the focus before we got there. That was going to be what
so
it was.
But they held the curtain until about, we finally went up about 8:20 or something.
Yep.
Just the basics. We finally go up about 8:20. Finally, the audience is pissed at this point.
But they didn't leave. God bless them.
They didn't leave.
And then they made an announcement at the beginning that there was, weather problems and travel, but they're here.
We're here and everything's fine now. Well, we start, the Bible show opens with the In the Beginning Blues, with me playing a keyboard and Reed on accordion and Matt Croak playing the harmonica. Well, the first notes are on the accordion, and then I start playing on the keyboard, and there was just this sound coming out of the keyboard.
Because we all thought, those trunks sat on the tarmac in the rain and the snow for several hours, and what happened was snow melted in there and then leaked and got into the keyboard.
Well, but it was fine during sound check because we did have a sound check and it was fine. But then it thawed.
Yeah.
And so now the water was working and the keyboard wasn't working.
And I think the first notes work. So the show starts like this. Da 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 da. And nothing. And Austin, at this point, we're still kind of in the dark, or did the lights come up at this point?
Yeah, the lights had come up at this point. But then
we faked our way through the rest of the song. Accordion and harmonica.
Still not breaking out. We didn't break out. We said, let's just keep going. Let's do, we didn't say, oh, so we're still going.
Right. And then, but I forget how we broke out. Why did we break out? Oh, because we had latecomers. That's what happened.
Right.
So we finally get through the first thing, but I had gone backstage. We have to all get out of our fig leaves, thank God, because the audience doesn't need to see us in our fig leaves anymore. And we put on our costumes, and I had said to the crew backstage, get us a real piano, an upright piano, because this keyboard's not working anymore. So get us an upright piano. So we get back out on stage. We're doing the show. We're still doing the show. We're not breaking or commenting. And then we have latecomers. Latecomers! The show already started 20 minutes late.
Yeah.
But they had
weather problems too.
So they finally come down the aisle, and we do what we always do, which is abuse the latecomers. We say, where were
you? Late. We got here before you, and here's what happened to us today.
And we started telling the story of our day.
At this point, it was almost like our first breath of the day. We just stopped. We had no interest in doing the show at this point. We just want to, recollect our thoughts. And we told the audience everything.
From the story you have just heard.
Right. The story you've just heard.
And jokes are great. I think Austin was saying, he was talking about the stewardess who were coming down. And he goes, what'd you say? What's the famous line?
I said, but now we're here and we made it. And I crossed myself. Yeah. And then I acknowledged the fact, oh, look, I'm crossing myself and I'm not even Catholic. And then I said, but there are no atheists in a plummeting continental. And we could do no wrong with that audience from then on.
Once they heard our story, they were with us for the rest of the way.
Well, and then we got back to the show. And right before the Begatten song comes on, one of the crew guys, because I had said, get me an upright piano and just bring it on whenever you can find it. And they had gone, found it in a classroom a couple of stories below. They'd put it up on an elevator and gotten it here. And so he looks at me from the wings. I said, yeah, bring it on now. Bring it on now. So he just rolls on the piano. Rolls on the upright piano, and then we put it in place. And then this crew guy—I don't know who he is—but it was his idea. He handed me a clipboard and made me sign for the delivery of the piano,
which was a great punchline.
Talk about investing in a show. They felt they knew us, and we obviously shared something with them. So it was one of those. I think we even all said, this better be a damn good show for doing all this.
And still, every time we go back to Nazareth College, we poll the audience. How many of you were here that night, all those years ago? And much of the audience raises their hand and laughs at the memory.
Hi, this is Neil Flynn, the janitor from TV Scrubs. You are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
And now, it's time for RSEQ and A.
Hi, I'm Katrina.
I'm Amanda.
And we're from
the Bay Area, and we went to see the Walnut Creek Great Book Show.
And we really enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah.
And we're wondering if you guys were Beatles fans, because we are. I mean, they're awesome.
Seriously.
So we were just wondering. So if you could answer that question for us, that would be awesome.
That was a really interesting question from those girls in the Bay Area who had seen us in Walnut Creek. They were asking, but I don't even know what they're talking about, the Beatles. What are they? The Beatles? Who is that?
I think it's an old-time rock and roll band, sort of an obscure rock and roll band. It was the one Paul McCartney belonged to before he joined the supergroup Wings.
Oh, right, and it was the biggie before John Lennon joined the Plastic Ono band.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. They had a TV show. Hey, hey, we're the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. That's it. It was Davey, Mickey, George, and Ringo.
That's right. I love those guys. Those guys are very, very good. Yeah, thanks for asking that question.
But no, we love the Beatles.
I mean, aside from you and me, they're the John Lennon and Paul McCartney are the other great songwriting team.
Absolutely. And Abbott and Costello.
Hello. This is Kyle Turner. I just want to say that your show is fantastic. I really like it. I got to meet Reed Martin at the Completely Hollywood show at Fairfield University, and I thought it was hilarious. And I also got to meet Steve Marvel and Brent someone. Anyways, your show was great, and I love it. Thank you so much. It has brought so much happiness.
And so that was also a nice message from that kid Kyle Turner that we met.
Fairfield, Connecticut. He came up to the autograph table and said he listened to the podcast.
That's right. And he said that his mom gave you a hug?
probably. People come up to the table and want to rub my head. I don't understand.
Is that what you want to... Do you want to talk about that?
No, not really.
What happens in Fairfield stays in Fairfield?
Yeah.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I promise you will have a real one next week. Send us your repeats and reruns via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also contact us on Facebook or Twitter, and we will respond. You can also send us feedback letters. We'll respond to those. Some of you have posted reviews of this podcast on iTunes. Thank you for those. If you haven't done it yet, it is not too late, and every review helps. Just click on over to iTunes or Facebook or Twitter right now. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey. Matthew, we hardly knew ye croak. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Alan Cohen. No reason, it's just random. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tichner, 451, 1353rd of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Thanks also to Neil Flynn. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brent Tubbs, 927th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.